Show Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. As you know, on Wednesdays, we interview activists and people from around, I guess, I hate to call us anti-nuclear, I call us pro-life community. This morning, I had scheduled Patty Amino, who is out of Apollo, Pennsylvania, who won her case and has been working for 27 years against the NRC for killing the environment around the land where she grew up. This morning, something happened and I wasn't able to connect with her, so she won't be here with us today. I'm really disappointed. If I talk to her and we can reschedule the appointment for Friday, I will definitely have a live interview on Friday. So it's kind of on the fly because I was planning on interviewing her. So one of the things I thought I'd do is I'm just going to talk to you about the things that are happening in the industry, in the lies from the nuclear industry once again, and listen to the type of just insanity that we are being forced to live with as if it's real. It's completely insane. The denial, the lack of honesty is just, and not just from the nuclear industry, from the doctors, from the medical community, who ought to be joining in with Dr. Caldicott and jumping up and down and saying, wait a minute, this is all a big fat lie. Nuclear kills people. Here's an article from the Seattle Times. I went to the ENE News. The headline was, Cemetery Full of Dead Babies, Missing Brains Next to U.S. Nuclear Site. Funeral Director, all infants we have died the same way. Pretty much all I see is on the death certificates. It's microencephaly. It is just a complete insanity that these physicians are not calling out the exact reason. This article goes on to say, how the state is missing chances to find deadly birth defect causes. That's the title. That is the title. More than 40 mothers have lost babies in a rare and deadly birth defect in three central Washington counties since 2010, but the cause remains unknown. Why haven't health officials done more to find the answers? This is just completely insane. I'm going to skip the deadly details about this little baby being born with half of a brain. And it says about 2 in every 10,000 babies in the U.S. are born with encephaly each year. It occurs when the neural tube, which forms the brain and the spinal cord, fails to close early in pregnancy. What happened to Maria is a rare tragedy, a fluke, doctors say. But records show that at least 40 other mothers have lost babies to the disorder in Yakima, Benton, and Franklin County since 2010, a rate as much as 5 times higher than the national average. So what do the Washington state people What are they saying about this? This is just unbelievable. A lack of folic acid, a B vitamin, raises the risk, and encephaly is more common in Hispanic women. But exactly why the state is so high in Central Washington has confounded the experts. It's a high priority in our department, said Kathy Laufey, Washington's health officer. I think we're going to have to give her a call and give her some education. But a Seattle Times investigation finds that even cases continue to climb, health officials tasked with solving the mystery have missed opportunities for answers. That's right. They have not contacted most of the women who lost their babies to encephaly. They have not collected samples or conducted tests that could reveal potential genetic or environmental risks linked to the problem. They have not reached out as effectively as possible to tell families how the disorder might be prevented. How about stay away from Hanford and stay away from being upwind of it? You know, Hanford is built against, I don't know if many of you have seen the explanation that the Louisa Hamacek did about how Hanford is and Columbia Generating Station are really a catastrophic threat to our entire nation, but especially to Washington. It's built on this reservation, kind of at the Columbia River, where it's rounded up, where it rounds up and heads up towards Canada on the map. It makes like a backwards L, sort of. And right up against it, right next to it, on the other side of the river, is a mountain range. So when the winds come in and the wind flow, it actually blows the nuclear pollution upwind into these other counties, Yakima and Benton and Franklin. It's just outrageous. It's outrageous that people think that Yakima County, Benton, and Franklin are not all downwind or upwind of it. Outside experts said the probes underscore both the difficulty of investigating birth defect clusters, which are rarely unraveled, and need more vigorous effort. This is just complete denial by every agency that radiation causes harm, and these doctors ought to be held accountable. This is complete bull. We know for a fact that microencephaly is a signature of nuclear pollution. That was proven in the 50s. Linus Pauling did ground-shaking research on this. It breaks my heart that there is not more productivity, said Allison Ashley Kalk, the professor of medicine and biostatics at Duke University, said of the investigation. She is compiling the largest genetic study of encephaly in the world and has followed the Washington cluster. I wonder if she'd be willing to interview. 2 years ago, Ashley Kalk said she and her colleagues contacted CDC officials offering to help collect biological samples and analyze potential environmental contaminants. Such analysis could offer insight into the disorder. And this is what they said. Basically, they said, no, thank you. If we don't get in there and start collecting samples, she said, whether it's my group or the CDC, I feel like it's just another opportunity missed if we don't learn from this. This is the infuriating secret of this nuclear monster that we are fighting. And I frankly am angry about it. You know, people say, well, don't lose your cool. Well, you know what? These people are perpetrating murder. These babies are being born without a half a brain. And the government says, no, we're not. No, thank you. We're not going to conduct tests. We're not going to compile data. We're not going to find out that it's our mismanagement of Hanford and, that is causing this. They are allowing people to get killed. This is literally murder that the nuclear industry is perpetrating on the entire planet. They are in complete denial, and they are murdering people. You know, honestly, folks, I can't read this whole article. It's just infuriating to listen to them talk about the parents' point of view, everybody's point of view, while these people's families, all these people's families are being affected. And God knows those women have more babies. They're going to have more microencephaly. The CDC launched a study to examine medical records of 27 women, including Garcia, who had babies with neural tube defects in the counties from 2010 to 2013. Their records were compared with those of 108 women with healthy pregnancies. Don't you think it's peculiar? 108. And 27. The analysis showed the rate of spina bifida, one type of defect, was far lower than the national average, but the rate of encephaly was much higher. Wow. It is so outrageous how they skew these analyses. They do this intentionally, but people are still dying. That's the infuriating part. That's where this, a clear cause of the elevated presence of encephaly was not determined to the 2013 report. Actually, in that 2013 report, it specifically said that there was no way. I read that report. The original report said that it was not caused by Hanford. That's where the study stops, says this story. No women were interviewed or told they were among the dozens in the region who'd lost babies to a rare birth defect. At the time, the CDC said they lacked funding for a boots on the ground for epidemiological study. So where is this story coming from? I apologize to you. I really pulled it off the internet. It is from the Seattle Times, in the health department of the Seattle Times. So this is, I guess, somewhat mainstream, and I think Seattle has a vested interest in finding out the truth. But where are the doctors in Washington, D.C. who have affected this, and they're allowing the government to do nothing? State makes a pledge. Wow. While the rate, with the rate still rising, Washington state officials launched an investigation in June 2004, tapping a 16-member advisory panel of medical experts, researchers, and community members. And the group pledged to find ways to reduce the number of cases. How about like moving people away from Hanford, which is just a toxic stew? How about that? How about that? How about fining Bechtel a lot more money and sending somebody to jail for spewing plutonium all over the place? I mean, that actually did happen. Hanford got fined something like $24 million for spewing plutonium. Let's see if I can find the story. I apologize to you folks for not having an interview today. I imagine that you were seriously looking for it, but, you know, there's sometimes things happen on our show. It's a live interview, and things happen, and I find out why what happened. So if we can get her, Patty Amino, back on Friday, I certainly will do it. And in the meantime, I'm going to continue with these stories because there is certainly a lot of things to get angry about, but there's a lot more things to pay attention to because really, this is just an outrage that the government is saying this is not caused by nuclear pollution, and we know it is. So let's see. In January, state officials began interviewing mothers of infants with neural tube defects, including spina bifida. So far, they've interviewed 15 women, including 11 of the 41 who lost babies to encephaly. Seven more potential interviews have identified since April, including three mothers of babies with encephaly, but health officials are still following up. We will compare these answers with the healthy control group, according to the CDC protocol. Results should be available in May. I think there's a sense of urgency, said Wasserman. I don't think it's an unusual amount of time. Experts in birth defects, epidemiological, and health communication say the problem may not be with what officials have done, but what they have not done. I would suggest that there seems to be a gap in the research so far, says Linda Neuhauser, a clinical professor at the University of California, Berkeley School of Public Health, who specializes in community health interventions. They haven't actually gone in and interviewed all the people yet, because if you don't do that, you don't have some windows into possible causes. You know, this is just an infuriating story because you know what? We know exactly why these women have microencephaly. It's because they are living around a nuclear facility that is leaking plutonium, americium, up in Hanford, if you take your Geiger counter, it goes off the charts while you're driving past it. It is an outrage. Just a few weeks ago, the DOE fined Bechtel, who runs the place, I think it was like $34 million, because they had untold amounts of plutonium that was spilling out. I do not know how the people in Washington can just ignore this. And I think it goes back to that same thing. It's the normalcy bias. People want to have a normal environment. Like people living in St. Louis, they don't want to believe that their government is killing them and could care less if they die. That's essentially what's happening in St. Louis. People have gotten cancers and tumors when they should not have. Babies have died when they should not have. And the government's like, gee, that's really tough. It's really too bad. Let's be very clear. The nuclear pollution was done at the hands of the government. Our government has done this. If anybody hasn't taken a look at the map, what they have done from the nuclear pollution, take a hard look. If you just look at the map east of the Mississippi, there are so many nuclear dump sites and nuclear power plants. East of the Mississippi is just one toxic dump. And then on the other side of the Mississippi, it's all the testing from the nuclear bombs. So, you know, the whole country is just one toxic slew of nuclear pollution. I can't read this story, folks. This is just infuriating. Outreach workers unaware of the effort. With no known cause for the clusters, health officials are focusing on raising awareness about the importance of women taking folic acid before pregnancy. Oh, my God. Can you tell this just incites me? This is such an outrage. The state ran 3,000 public service radio spots about folic acid between May and July of this year. 3,000 public radio spots. How much did that cost the state? And distributed 12,000 brochures to community colleges, clinics, nail and hair salons, and other sites, she said. They held public forums in Sunnyside and Kennewick in 14 and plan to give out more materials at obstetric and primary care conferences next year. How about telling people to move away from Yakima, Benton, and Franklin counties because they are living right next door to a nuclear dump site that is out of control? How about the truth? Oh, man. Okay, back to this story. In addition, county health officials have worked with a nonprofit group, Vitamin Angels, to obtain 5,670 bottles of free folic acid supplements to women served by the Yakima, Benton, and Franklin health districts. So what are they going to do when these women continue to have microcephaly who are taking all this folic acid? This is such an outrage that this little dance and this little pretend game of, oh, let's pretend it's not caused by Hanford, is actually going on. Back to this story. In March, a member of the advisory panel said community workers in the three counties are poised and ready to help, but have not seen anything regarding materials around the topic, according to the meeting minutes. In April, members of the Washington State Democratic Central Committee demanded a more thorough investigation in a resolution sent to the state health department, saying in part that folic acid awareness was not noticeable. It's not the folic acid awareness, you dumbasses. In June, Dr. Jenny McLaurin, an expert in migrant and community health, gave a talk in Yakima. She found little evidence of intervention. The outreach workers were unaware of any efforts. You know what I ought to really do? I ought to freaking make up some brochures in Spanish. I speak fluent Spanish. I could translate all of my brochures that I hand out here in Eugene, and I could go up there, drive up there, make a little trip, and just hand them out to the community, because I'll bet you 2-1, the Hispanic people that are living up in that area right next door to the nuclear power plant have zero idea that they are putting their lives at risk just even living there. It's outrageous. back to this story, and I'm skipping, folks. This is not the whole story. So Seattle Times did a much more thorough job of blah, 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 blah. I just can't read it. It's infuriating. This is why Wednesdays are good, where I interview people, because otherwise it's me reading these articles and just blowing off steam. It's unconscionable that people in Washington State are not gathering together and sitting in these offices of these elected officials and saying, we know it. Bring John Goffman's books. We know it comes from nuclear exposure to nuclear pollution. We know that. This is not a mystery, folks. It's from Hanford being run in an unconscionable way. Hanford is out in the middle of the desert. It's on a 400 or 500 acre reservation. It's a gigantic place. I think it's not acres. It might be miles. How big? I'm going to ask. Big is the Hanford reservation. Nuclear. I think it's like 500, 400 acres or something like that. It's gigantic. You go out there and it's really just the desert. And what happens out there very frequently, in fact, we've had a lot of near misses up in the Northwest. A lot of times what happens is there's these fires out in the middle of the desert that just catch fire spontaneously. And, you know, it spreads the radiation. They have, I don't know if any of you have seen these pictures of what goes on up in Hanford, but Bechtel dug these trenches, 40 miles of trenches that are about 10 feet deep, maybe 20 feet wide, just these big, gigantic trenches. And they just dumped barrels unprotected. They were supposed to line the trenches when they got authorization to do this work. They were supposed to dig 40 miles of trenches. Some scientists had an idea that said if we dug 40 miles of trenches, triple lined it with this nuclear waste resistant plastic, pour the nuclear waste in there for a long time, it'll cool down because it's supposed to cool down over several hundred thousand years. We can cut the cooling time down to, you know, a reasonable time, 10,000 years, estimated reasonable time, 10,000 years. These people are completely insane. They're off the charts insane, because they're talking about human beings and our culture and our civilization being able to protect nuclear power sites in 10,000 years. There is nothing in human history that's lasted 10,000 years. So they dug these trenches. Bechtel decided to save money and did not line the trenches and did not open up the nuclear waste and pour it in these trenches as they were required to do by the law. They dug 40 miles of trenches unlined and pushed all the barrels into the site. And if it wasn't for a Democratic congressperson or representative from the state of Washington, Pollitt, who followed up on some clues up there and came upon this and took pictures himself and exposed it himself, we would not even know about it. I mean, he's among the Democrats, I'm sure, in this story in the Seattle Times talking about we need more action. I mean, these people in Washington need to band together. The only way we're going to stop the nuclear industry is if all of us band together and just really seriously, we're going to have to take to the streets and take to their offices. I really am beginning to believe we need to have sit-ins. You know, we're going to have not just protests. We're going to have to just sit ourselves down. Although, did it work for the people of Wisconsin when they were trying to, you know, get rid of their horrendous laws that have been passed by the GOP there? No, so I guess the fascism is complete. It's unbelievable. Oh, check this out. This hurts my feelings. I'm going to read this out loud again. For the families affected by the rare birth defect, their private tragedies are far more than a public health debate. Steve and Valerie Branch of Yakima never heard of encephaly until an ultrasound revealed devastating problems with their unborn daughter in the fall of 2012. It sort of took our breath away, said Steve Branch, a compliance officer with a local fruit packing firm. It was a lot to try to process. I was just confused. The couple, who had already two young children, struggled with the news. From the start, they never thought of terminating the pregnancy. "It's still our child. I could feel it moving," said Valerie Branch, 33, who works as an administrator for a group of doctors opposed to assisted suicide. Wow. That is outrageous. And then they talk about how sad it was to leave her to die. And they had to hold her, and she died. As the encephaly cluster has grown, so have worries in the wider community. Dr. Portia Jones says she has fielded increasing questions about the birth defects in her family practice at Community Health of Central Washington in Yakima. "I would say that probably a third of the women who are contemplating pregnancy either know someone or who have heard of someone affected by the cluster." Smoking guns are hard to find. No one disputes that the investigation of birth defect cluster is difficult and often futile. This is bull. This is not, it's not futile. We know exactly what it's caused from. Though exceptions have been significant, the discovery of the link between anti-nausea drug formaldehyde and limb malformations in the babies in the 60s, or the tie discovered in 1999 between the common antibiotic encephalomycin and the condition of newborn babies called hypertrophic myeloric stenosis, has caused forceful vomiting and can lead to serious complications. What's really annoying is across the board, nuclear is the new N-word. Nobody can even say it anymore. You cannot say this is caused by nuclear pollution. They are going to resist it at every cause. Because they are not looking for it, folks. They are not testing these people for nuclear radioactive nuclides. They are just not looking. And the, you know, that this gentleman working in a fruit processing plant lets you know again how important it is for us to know where our food came from. You cannot buy apples from Washington. Avoid them at all cost. For real, you need to really seriously avoid the apples and the strawberries, even organic strawberries. You got to avoid all of that fruit from up there because it is contaminated, and contaminated at high rates. And part of the reason that it's contaminated at high rates is because Hanford's completely out of control. They do pretty much whatever they want. There is no monitoring. They can do whatever they want. And the government comes in and slaps them on the fingers. That's it. They don't even get a good hand slap. They just get a little hand finger slap. So I see that we're halfway through the show. Thank you for listening today. It is Wednesday. I know you may have been expecting an interview today. I had scheduled to interview with Patty Amino and had confirmed late last night with her that she would be on the show. Something must have come up because I could not connect with her this morning. So we'll find out what that is the next time I get her on the air. And hopefully that will be soon, because she is an awesome guest. She's a really great activist. She did a lot of work to help the people of her own little town basically get the truth. So I thought what I'd do is head over to the NRC website and talk to you about these conferences that are going on, because there's conferences, there are documents for review that we could be paying attention to. And I think that there is nothing there live. Let me see. Let me look at the NRC documents that are documents for comment. This is what the documents for comment are. Here we go. The comment period for closing is 4/13 on this first one, NRC 2015-0270. The summary, it says this: list of approved spent fuel storage casks, Holtec International High Storm 100 cast system, certificate of compliance number 1014, amendment number 10. This is the cast that Donna Gilmore was talking to us about last week, that are less than an inch thick. Year after year after year, the NRC continues to approve these documents that say that we know for a fact that these storage containers are going to only last for 100 years and they start leaking in 20 years. And yet, here again, we have the same, we have the NRC rubber stamping it. So that is NRC 2015-0270 if you want to make a comment before 4/13/2016. So then we have another one that's open for comment that closes 5/13/2016. The summary says physical protection for Category 1 and Category 2 quantities of radioactive material. That is NRC 2015-0109. And the way to find this is you come up to the NRC webpage, you click on public meetings and involvement. And then this is documents for comment. So you can make a comment, you can read through these. NRC 2012-0059, incorporation of reference of revisions of ASME regulatory guides. So I wonder what that means. That is a very curious thing. License applications and amendments. Dominion Nuclear Nuclear Connecticut Inc. Millstone Power Station Unit Number 2 License Amendment Application. Those comments end actually today. Today is the very last day to make a comment on that. That's NRC 2016-0034. Let me open that one up and see what it says since it's the ending of today. So they're going to just rubber stamp another, they're going to rubber stamp another one of these licensees. As Barbara Boxer said, the NRC never saw a license application they didn't love. License, the summary, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is considering issuance of an amendment to facility license number DPR-65 issued to Dominion Nuclear Connecticut Inc. The proposed amendment would modify the MPS-2 technical specifications to revise the peak calculated primary containment internal pressure for the design basis loss of coolant to be consistent with the definition of P to the A in the NRC's regulation. The proposed amendment would also revise the acceptance criteria for leakage rates of testing of containment of airlock door seals to substitute the use of makeup flow in lieu of pressure decay method currently used. Sounds to me like they're going to be approving a less rigid standard for this licensee. That's the general gist of what I just read. I don't know about you, but this is how they work. They don't really care. They have no regard for human health at all. They have no regard for human life. And this it shows every time you look at anything that the NRC does, this is what it shows. It's beyond an outrage. I mean, it's I honestly don't know how we where we're going to end up because this is just it's unconscionable. I mean, we literally are living in a time on this planet where we really just can't do anything about it. Like, I think that's why most people check out it because it is just like, what the heck? We have this up there in Washington. We have a microencephaly cluster, and believe me, folks, it's only going to get worse. It is not going to get better. These children dying in Japan, they think they're going to be the only ones. They're going to have to cremate a lot of bodies of dead children to have to hide what's going on in Fukushima in the next few years. They can force the people back into Fukushima, but you know what? They actually are not going to be able to allow them to, live. They're not going to be able to force them to live. It's an unconscionable act. It's the most unbelievable, inhumane thing that's ever happened in the history of the planet. If people think for a second that Fukushima is over, you are sorely mistaken, folks. We are seeing an increase in heart attacks, cancer rates, diabetes. It's off the charts. And in the meantime, people choose to tune out of stations like this, one of the few stations where we can actually get real news. And we have even the alternative media I've heard Richie Allen on his radio show say, well, what do you think of that Sellafield thing? Do you think it's really harmful? Heck yeah, Sellafield is really harmful. And for those of you who don't know, Sellafield is England's little Fukushima. It's spewing nuclear pollution into the Irish Sea to the point where people, Ireland, by the way, got creamed by Chernobyl. They still can't eat the lamb. They still can't eat a lot of the meat that is raised there because of Chernobyl. And that's how it's going to be for perpetuity, for as long as we're going to be around. Once this nuclear pollution poisons the earth, we have a choice. We're either going to eat poisoned beef that's going to cause us to get genetically mutated, and our children, we will not be able to reproduce, or we do completely without meat and eat the greens. Because really, it doesn't bioaccumulate the same way it does as it does in animals. Unbelievable. I'm going to read from you the event notification report for today, March 23rd. I think it's important for us to pay attention to what the NRC is actually really telling us. This is what they're saying. Now, what they're not saying, if you read behind the lines, if we take John Goffman's 90% rule, we can pretty much know that we're all walking the plank, essentially. That's how it feels like to me. We're all walking the plank. And I'm actually it's I've had this come to Jesus moment in this election where I'm beginning to realize, all these people that send me articles about your vote doesn't matter, the oligarchs are not going to let the people who could make a change do anything. 100% right. The fascism is complete. I mean, we're watching it slowly go down. That's what they do. They feed it to us slowly so we can swallow the poison pill, give it to us in bits. United Controls International in Norcross, Georgia. Event number 50935, notification date 327. The first event happened on 1:30. Part 21 notification. They've been working on this. They've updated it 21 times. That's a pretty serious one. Sense and transfer module was provided to PSEG under purchase number, blah, blah, blah. The customer identified an abnormal curve. A resistive short on the integrated circuit installed in location on this printed circuit board. The customer performed an evaluation in which included dissection of the subject integrated circuit. However, the dissection provided inconclusive results as to the result cause of the integrated circuit anomaly. So something is seriously wrong, and they are trying to figure it out. This is part 21 notification. And this is where, at United Controls International, they cannot figure out what they have done. Wow. Okay, next one. 51790, California Radiation Control Program, Foothills Geotechnological Services in Placerville, California. This is considered a non-emergency. Oh, it's a non-emergency. It's only a stolen moisture density gauge. So let's see, was it stolen from a truck like they're always stolen from? No, it was stolen from the licensee storage facility located in Placerville, California on 3/12/2016. On 3/14, how can that? Oh, 312. On 314, the California Department of Health Radiological Health Branch was contacted via email by California Office of Emergency Services to report a stolen moisture gauge. This Troxler model 3440, serial number 2-344-36628. Just in case any of you see it out there, in case anybody wants to illegally sell it to you, you will know where it came from. Gauge containing 9 millicuries of cesium-137 and 44 millicuries of americium-241. So that's enough to kill somebody or kill a lot of people, frankly. No report of damage to the device, however, or the whereabouts of the gauge. There was no report of damage to this device. However, the whereabouts of the gauge is unknown. The RHB will follow up with this investigation. So they just lost a gauge, a density gauge. So what happened? Here's another non-emergency reported by Texas Department of State Health Services, Geotest Engineering, Inc., 51790. What happened? Was this the same place? No, that's California Radiation Control Program. This one is Texas Department of Health. Again, another stolen moisture density gauge. Why the heck are these things being stolen, and who are they selling them to? That's the question, isn't it, folks? What's going on? When I was reading these every single Monday before I started in on the interviews with the people in St. Louis, density gauges got stolen. They do get stolen quite regularly. But here we have two in 1 week. I mean, who are these people? The NRC sure has some lax rules. Wow, this gauge contained 40 millicuries of americium-241 and an 8 millicuries cesium-137. An investigation of this event is ongoing. So where did it get stolen from? From the back of a truck. Okay, one of its technicians had stopped by an apartment complex on his way to a temporary job site and had left his Troxler model 3430 moisture density gauge, serial number 63944, in case any of you get offered it, secured with two chains in the back of a company truck while he went inside an apartment. When he returned to his vehicle, he found that the chains had been cut, the transport case was on the ground near the vehicle, and the gauge had been removed, meaning somebody knew that it was in there. Someone knew exactly what they were stealing. And why did he stop at an apartment complex on his way to a temporary job site with a gauge inside of it? That is so outrageous. Further information will be provided as it is obtained in accordance with SA 300. Wow. When he returned, this is just so outrageous. The licensee's radiation safety officer reported that the insertion rod on the gauge was locked and the technician had the key. I guess that's a good thing, isn't it? So let's see what else was reported today. Florida Bureau of Radiation Control, ECS Florida LLC. This is considered a non-emergency. This is event number 51793. A lost moisture density gauge. Another one. You know, I wish I was enough scientific brain to really understand why they would want to have this. This is just so outrageous. So, anyways, I'm just completely stunned. Let me get back to this NRC report because there's something going on here. I mean, in 1 day, three density gauges are lost or stolen. This is the third report. An employee left the shop this morning at 7:25 EDT in a pickup truck. The soil moisture density gauge was locked, but not chained and locked to the bed of the pickup truck. The employee drove about 1 mile to the job site and upon arrival realized the gauge was missing. Was this guy drunk? Multiple employees retraced the route to try to find the gauge but could not find it. What a coinky dinky. How convenient. How convenient. The radiation safety officer, which they call an RSO, notified local law enforcement and fire department. This is so outrageous. This is the serial number in case anyone gets offered to buy it. It's CZ6000. Wow. I don't know how people don't get angry when you just look at this stuff. Okay, the next event that's being reported today is 51808, Arkansas Nuclear in Arkansas. Unanalyzed condition. Unanalyzed condition that could challenge RHR equipment during flood conditions. Two potentially degraded flood barriers at penetrations 00731-0034 and 00731-0063 were identified in the area between Unit 1 Turbine Building and the Auxiliary Building. The deficient barriers are a blockout section of the floor designed to house multiple penetrations that transition from the turbine building to the auxiliary buildings. Attempts have been made to investigate the status of the flood barrier with no definitive results. Investigations and additional evaluations are continuing, however. It is currently unknown if the aggregate of these two flood barriers could potentially overwhelm and flood the auxiliary building, which could challenge equipment. Challenge equipment. How do you like that? Challenge equipment necessary to remove residual heat and constitute an unanalyzed condition. The twisting of the NRC is so freaking sick. Everybody working for this organization is going to hell if there is a hell. If there really is a hell, these people are landing there. They might as well not call themselves Christians or Muslims or Hindi or whatever it is they think they are. Because guess what? This is inhumane to keep playing this game. Whoever Mark Abramovitz is, or Keith Ledbetter, these people are going to burn in hell if there is a hell. These are the two people who wrote this report. This is an 8-hour non-emergency supplemental notification to previously issued notifications. 51808. Two non-functional barriers were identified and reported, and during an extensive condition review, a third barrier has been identified that does not conform to the expected flood barrier standards. So that means if there is a flood in Arkansas near this Arkansas nuclear station, you are all going to have a nuclear meltdown. That's essentially what they're telling us. We know it's coming, and we're absolutely doing nothing to stop it. Compensatory measures have been prepared to allow placement of a seal over the identified deficient barrier. If required, this seal can be installed well in advance of forecast conditions. Permanent repairs are currently being designed for installation. Designed for installation. So you're super screwed up until the time they try to figure out how to stop it. This is probably a good idea that I started interviewing the people from St. Louis on Mondays, isn't it, folks? Just reading one day of the nuclear alerts has just got me spitting nails. I'm just like, I can't. I am dumbfounded lately. It has actually, I have to confess, it has gotten to me. It has really gotten to me. The complacency of every single human being. Out of 100 people, maybe 2 people give a crap whether we are being poisoned by nuclear pollution, which is by far the worst pollution on the planet. These doctors in Seattle can sit and scratch their head about the microencephaly, but it is only going to get worse. It is not going to get better. It is going to get exponentially worse because that's what nuclear does. It's the age of fission, which means it feeds off itself and recreates more energy, more nuclear pollution, more, more, more. Until these scientists take it seriously and learn how to use the sound energy and the energy of the higher levels, we are going to do nothing but eat our arms off. So here we are, power reactor in Monticello, Minnesota, event number 51812. So this is Minnesota, folks, where you think everything's doing great. High pressure coolant injection oil leak on 322 during high performance HPCI flow control system dynamic test procedure. An oil leak was discovered on the hydraulic control oil piping. HPCI had previously been declared inoperable due to planned maintenance. However, as a result of the oil leak, HPCI remains inoperable. HPCI. What? HPCI. High pressure coolant injection. That's what the H. I completely forgot about these acronyms. They shorten everything so they don't have to talk about the little problem. The plant remains at 100% power with no challenges to the health and safety of the public. You, this is where I like, honestly, I think the reason I haven't had to be cussing a lot lately is I have not been reading these NRC alerts. This is just infuriating. Good thing we've only got 10 minutes left. We're at 8:49. Thank you for joining the Age of Fission radio show today. I really appreciate it. Please do spread the word. Please share this podcast with everyone that you know. This is valuable information, and the interviews that we have here are interviews that we don't get from anyone else, actually. I do look forward to rescheduling with Patty Amino. She is on the East Coast, so I'm thinking maybe what I ought to do is, like I've done a few times, is pre-record some interviews with her for her. Next week we have planned Mimi Gurman, who did a really great action up at the Bernie Sanders event last week when Bernie Sanders was in town up in Vancouver. She went up there and handed out some brochures to inform people of just exactly how toxic the Columbia Generating Station is. So I see that we still have, man, there's a lot of nuclear alerts that went down today. This is outrageous. So let me keep going. I don't even think we'll get to them. This is Hope Creek, New Jersey, event number 51814. The event actually happened on 3/22. And this is, again, considered non-emergency. Someone drunk on the job. A non-licensed supervisor tested positive for alcohol during a random fitness test. The individual's access to the facility has been denied. I guess you get fired on the job if you go to work drunk, if you're drinking on the job. A nuclear alert, 51815. This is at a power reactor, Watts Bar, Tennessee. Oh dear, non-emergency. RPS actuation critical, valve specification system actuation. You know, they did have a fire there a few weeks ago. The Watts Bar Plant Unit 1 reactor trip due to the actuation of the over temperature delta temperature bistables. Concurrent with the reactor trip, the auxiliary feed water system actuated. So do you know what this means, what they're saying here? Auxiliary feed water system actuated means they had a fire. That's the reactor trip to the actuation of the over temperature delta temperature distables. Concurrent with the reactor trip, the auxiliary feed water system actuated, which means it got flooded with water. All control rods inserted upon the reactor trip. Engineered safety function systems functions as expected. Don't worry, there was a fire, but we were able to put it out just as we expected. Watts Bar Nuclear Reactor Number 1 is currently stable in Mode 3. The reactor coolant system is being maintained at normal operable pressures and no load temperature with decay heat removal via the main condenser steam dumps and the AFW system. The station is in a normal shutdown electrical alignment. Watts Bar Unit Number 2 is in Mode 4 preparing for power ascension testing and was unaffected by Watts Bar Number 1. You know, these people are either sociopaths or they just have freaking nerves of steel. Because honestly, Watts Bar Number 1 is going on fire all the time. And they're like, yeah, no problem with Watts Bar Number 2. And in fact, this is, I read an article yesterday by the, he wrote an opinion from the nuclear, it's a man who runs the Indian Point nuclear reactors, and he was contesting the fact that they are pouring radiation into the Hudson Bay and that they are completely out of compliance. These people are completely insane. Event number 51816, United Controls International, licensee is Merson. And this is in Norcross, Georgia. Defects and non-compliance, non-emergency. The following information is a synopsis of information received via email On February 20th, United Controls International issued a return material authorization request to First Energy Perry Nuclear Power Plant. The RMA was issued to request the return of general purpose fuses of part number OT15, which were provided for First Energy Perry Nuclear Power Plant. The customer identified a fuse that was intermittent electrical continuity during resistance checks. This is so outrageous that these people are selling each other material that does not even work. The issue was identified as being due to a lack of or inadequate solder connection to the fuse element. This is outrageous. Event number 51817, nuclear power plant, McGuire, North Carolina, non-emergency, degraded condition, found in reactor coolant system piping on Tuesday, March 22nd, while performing planned inspections at Unit 1 reactor coolant system piping welds. A flaw indication was identified on a 3-inch charging line connection with reactor coolant system piping. The non-destructive evaluation results showed a change in the flaw since the previous outage inspection, and the condition is now determined as not meeting the acceptance criteria as indicated under report, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, this is something that Donna Gilmore talked to me about. They will actually follow, and right now up at the Columbia Generating Station, we know that there's a crack in one of the buildings, but the NRC is refusing to demand that they fix it because it's not big enough. So the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's attitude is, if we see a crack, we don't really fix it until it becomes so severe that it's going to cause an emergency. That's who's running our nuclear industry, folks. These are the same people who are denying that this microencephaly cases up in Washington are caused by the nuclear pollution, which we know it is caused by. Which we know it is caused by. They are not taking any types of precautions. They're not counting. They're not keeping track of it. Just like all across the entire United States, nobody ever really keeps track. We don't even have, I mean, our healthcare system is a sham and a joke. The testing for our medical conditions are tested to give the corporations the answers that they want. It has nothing to do with finding real health. We are all assets on a balance sheet. We are all their little lab rat experiments, and more than 90% of the population in this country could give a crap. They don't care. And actually, what it is not that they don't care. They don't have the courage to face it. And that's why I tell people, put your courage feet on, because guess what? It's not easy facing this. But if we don't, we're going to have more and more and more deaths to the point where our children who look normal will not be able to reproduce, or where their children will not be able to reproduce. The reason these children don't survive to adulthood is because they have no species fitness. Just like we're finding in the bird population. I mean, the stories are so sad. If anybody goes to ENE News, and I highly recommend that you do go to ENE News, that's where the stories are compiled. This is where the truth is actually. You can find all the links on ENE News, and you can find good stories through there, and you can do your own research. Don't take our word for it. Do your own research and get actively engaged. Do more than lift a finger. Do more than become keyboard activists. Because we need people to actually take action. Get off of their lounge chairs. Get away from your laptops. Get out in the street. Contact your elected officials. Contact the NRC. Poke them in the eye, even if you think it means nothing. Even if you think that your voice doesn't matter, keep talking. Keep spreading the word. Because our planet is in dire pain. The patient, as Dr. Caldicott says, is in the emergency room and in critical condition. It is going to take all of us to get our neighbors and our family members to face this and to have some courage. Put your courage feet on, you guys. I apologize for Patty Amino not being here. Hopefully very soon she will be. Thank you for joining the Age of Fission Radio Show. Please do share this podcast. Put your courage feet on. Thanks a lot.